Welcome to Horse First. This is a podcast about beginning with the horse, about paying attention before we explain and listening before we decide what something means, which, as it turns out, takes a bit more skill than it sounds. It's not about blame. It's not about being right. It's about widening the view and learning to carry responsibility without hardening. I'm Lockie Phillips. This is a space for curiosity, steady practice, and skill that keeps the horse at the center. Let's begin. There's a kind of horsemanship and horse training that I used to dream about, and I still do. It's the kind of dreaming where it originally drew me, 15 years ago to the idea and concept of natural horsemanship, the idea of a horse who wants the same things I want, or the horse who enjoys as much as I enjoy being with them, the horse enjoys being with me too. And though there's a kind of training that people dream about, and I don't think most people get into horses dreaming about control. I think most people get into horses dreaming about connection, so much so that I think the word connection has become totally overused these days. I think we imagine a horse who stays with us and a horse who feels present and a horse who offers us effort without fear or effort without labor, effort without effort, if you will. I think most of us imagine training that feels calm, thoughtful, mutual, not dramatic, not tense, and not held together by inappropriate pressures. And yet, many of us quietly assume, maybe even silently agree, that this type of partnership is rare, that it's talent that only a few people can embody, or luck of the draw, of the type of horse you get, or the conditions you're exposed to, that it's something you either stumble into, that it's either something you have or you don't have. And if you don't have it, you can't get it. And I want to talk today about why I don't think that's true. Because it's been my experience that when a horse learns that you will listen to them, everything about your horsemanship changes. Not overnight and not suddenly, sometimes suddenly, but usually not. And not magically. This isn't magic. This isn't a fantasy. It's fundamental. It's foundational change. So what changes when horses learn that their voice really matters, that their ideas, their thoughts really matter? First, we all have to agree that horses have thoughts and ideas about their training. And I assume most people who are listening here believe that to be true. And I assume that most people listening here believe the science that alludes to the reality that horses, indeed most other species on the planet, think and feel as much as people do, perhaps even more than we do. But what happens and what changes when horses learn that their voice matters? Horses don't naturally assume that they'll be heard by us, especially if they've had prior experiences, because they learn from experience that their voice is secondary to ours. When a horse realizes that their hesitation to respond is no longer punished or causes a spiral in the person somehow, spiral down, and that their uncertainty doesn't cause more excessive pressure out of us, and that their feedback for us, to us, in our direction, can change the outcome of the training, there's an internal shift that occurs inside horses. These horses will stop bracing in anticipation of our requests and our aids. They'll stop preparing to defend themselves, and they're more likely to start staying present in the training. And this is the foundation, the fundamentals of the kind of training I think most of us long for. Most of us don't long for pure obedience. Most of us don't long for pure compliance. We look for, wish for, hope for true dialogue and participation. A horse knows that they can communicate to us if they need to, and that they don't need to protect themselves by shutting down, by exploding, by defending themselves. They also don't rush to answer us, and they don't disappear entirely in front of us. They stay with you, even and especially when there's trouble afoot and you're out in the real world. They stay with you. And that's not softness. There's nothing soft about that, if it is true that you believe softness is a weakness. In fact, this is strength. This is confidence. And this is a type of strength that is a developed skill that we can learn and that horses can learn. Because there's a moment after horses learn how to advocate for themselves in real time with people. And this moment is a lot quieter than a lot of us expect it to be. It's not looking like a horse doing what we ask with a happy expression half the time. Sometimes it can be really, really quiet. Sometimes it's loud, but wrapped up in a behavioral package that looks like disobedience. But it's a moment when trust deepens in the horse beyond pure safety. If all we're looking for is a horse to feel safe with us, this is only step one of a multi-step process towards all-encompassing trust between a horse and a person. Safety needs to be the first most important step, but it's not enough to feel only safe. You need safety and. Because let's imagine the horse already knows how to say no to us. In fact, some horses become so good at saying no once we allow them that they form their entire personality around the idea of saying no to us, but I digress. And let's say these horses already know how to pause. They already know that they won't be overridden, overworked. But now these horses start to test us on something that's quieter and more subtle. They start to test us in a way that asks, can I follow and still be me, still be myself? I think this is where extraordinary training lives and breathes. That the horse begins to allow guidance, not because they have to, but because experience has taught them that guidance doesn't erase them. They stay expressive while moving forward. They stay thoughtful while being directed. They stay attentive in a pause. This is the dream outcome people, I think, describe when they say, I would like that my horse trusts me, or that I'm someone worthy of their trust. And the kind of trust we're talking about here isn't blind. It's not blind trust. That's a little unhealthy. It's informed and clear-eyed with a wide view. And it grows when we become clear, steady, and readable, understandable to the horse. Not louder. Not something the horse has to be resilient about. Just clear, steady, and understandable. So, what does skilled guidance actually feel like to a horse? No one really knows. All of this is about our... I would like to invite you to come and learn with me inside the EH School. This is a low-cost, high-value, flexible membership for horse people who want more than just quick fixes and louder answers. Inside, you will find a growing video library, a thoughtful off-social media discussion space, and live coaching calls with myself and often with my team, all designed to help you get to the heart of what's really happening in your horsemanship. This is not about following a method. It's about building clarity, skill, and confidence with the horses always placed as the first priority. If you're looking for a steady place to learn, reflect, and progress your practical skills without force of horses or overwhelm of yourself, I hope you will come and feel at home with us in the EH School. You can find the sign up by the link in the show notes, or you can visit emotionalhorsemanship.com and navigate to the EH School sign up. Best possible guesswork. Every horse person on the planet is engaging in varying degrees of guesswork. However, this type of dynamic that I describe, I don't think it comes from doing less only or by slowing down only. I think it comes from doing things more clean, not by doing less, just being cleaner in the stuff that we do, for want of a better term. Clean for me could be described as we know exactly what we're asking and why. We don't over cue or under cue the horse. We don't try to excuse away or engage in our or their uncertainty. So we're taking action through confidence, and we don't necessarily fill all silences with action either. We're describing cleanliness through tact. We ask, we wait, we stay, we wait, we ask again. And when the horse hesitates, we don't rush in to fix it. And when the horse offers something small, we don't necessarily overwhelm it with praise either, because then that becomes all about us. When the horse moves forward, we keep listening to them as they go forwards rather than thinking about the next thing we want and then the next thing. And I think this is the skill that many people were just never taught. How to guide without overpowering, how to lead and reinforce and congratulate without crowding or smothering, and how to hold form and structure without inappropriate pressures and unrelenting pressures. And this is not mystical or fantastical or far away or requiring some sort of inhuman talent. This is just learned tact, learned perception. And once you have it, I think training stops feeling like a cumbersome effort that you have to manage. And I think it starts feeling like a conversation with a friend. So when this becomes our norm, there are a few things that become possible that weren't possible before. When horses trust again that their communication will remain intact throughout whatever activities you pursue together, training becomes lighter without becoming vague or confusing. And you see it in their body. The horse will stay organized and they breathe. They'll offer consistency, but there won't be tension. There won't be micromanagement. They'll organize, they'll breathe, and they'll be consistent. And there won't be someone rushing behind them to keep all of that together with 47 aids, for example. Problems, when you encounter them, not if, when you encounter a problem, they very rarely escalate because they're addressed very early in the training and the horse is equipped with tools in other aspects of their life and training, tools that are immediately available when problems arise. And progress kind of holds water because the horse is rested and allowed to integrate their learning. They're allowed to mature and grow in their mind, in their neurology, because that integration time involves good horse keeping, periodic holidays and breaks from work, being roughed off seasonally, really good habitat design, really interesting, stimulating home environments, etc. Friends turn out, all of that. And this is when people start to say things like, oh God, this feels really easy now. It feels really clear. It's when we finally start to trust all the things we've been feeling all our lives, not because the horse became simple, they remain a complex and nuanced pursuit, but because we became skilled. This is the kind of outcome that people often assume requires a special horse. And often I've had people say to me, oh, you're lucky because you've got this horse or that horse or this horse or that horse. And then if you are to come here to my farm, you realize that none of my horses make it easy. And though I focus on my own private horses now, I have a long working relationship and work experience history, primarily working with horses that don't belong to me. So though I have chosen to only work with my own horses primarily in person right now, that has not always been my journey or my luck. I have now had the opportunity to do that, so I do that now. But these sort of outcomes don't require a special horse. It requires perhaps a special person, and it definitely requires learning of how to see, respond, and guide horses differently than we are typically taught. So all of this that I describe is learnable, and it's not accidental. None of this is about being gifted, naturally gifted, or talented. It's just about nervous system literacy, emotional intelligence, and willingness to try. Learning how horses organize themselves in human relationship dynamics, learning how good old-fashioned timing and clarity and even restraint can change outcomes, and learning how to regulate yourself so the horse doesn't have to regulate you for you. This is what turns training from something that you have to mitigate and manage and chase after into something that you feel like a willing participant in as much as your horse does. And it's why people who learn to be this way with horses kind of stop bouncing around between methods and stop leapfrogging between methods. And even if they choose to learn from multiple different teachers, it's effortless for them to integrate different knowledges, even contradicting informations from different people. You start feeling like you're at home because you stop chasing quick fixes and you stop feeling like something's always missing from you. And we stop guessing through inaccuracy. We're now doing really good guessing through highly accurate, high fidelity listening. And then when we hear what we're listening, we know what to do with that. So the kind of horse person that I think anyone can become, the dream that most people have with their horses, is not about perfection. It's about a relationship that can hold up no matter what life throws at you. It's a horse who can follow and be led without disappearing in the relationship. It's a horse who can respond without being afraid of consequences. And it's a horse who stays like themselves with you. It's the kind of training that doesn't come from force, and it doesn't come from being passive either. It just comes from skill, skill that can be learned, practiced, refined, and even taught. And that's why I get up every morning passionate, motivated, and excited about the future to teach this, if I can, to people if they ask me. So here's the question I'd like to leave you with, the gentle consideration I'd like us all to ponder. If your horse trusted that you would listen every time, what would become possible in your training? And if that's the partnership that you want, what are you willing to learn to become that? Because horses notice when someone's doing the work, and they'll respond before you're even good at it yet. And that's something to feel encouraged about. Anyone who'd like to come and explore this world with me, with my team, in a community of some of the nicest people I know, I have online courses available 24/7, 365. You can sign up at any time There are payment plans available for those who need them. And I have courses on a range of subjects, from hoof care to human body movement and conditioning, to food reward-based training, to more focused emotional horsemanship discussions, from my foundation online course, intermediate groundwork, explorations around selfless riding and de-escalating of horses, and a lot more. You can sign up for those courses through my website, emotionalhorsemanship.com. And for those of you who would need then private, non-self-study, but private guided assistance, I have a team of fabulous, competent, qualified, friendly people who are available for you to make a booking with at any time. No matter where you are in the world, we will meet with you to help you if we can. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next time.